to call the meeting to order. And thank you. This is our, I guess the way I would describe it, our quarterly meeting with the RAC and the AAC, in quotes, our quarterly meeting in quotes when we do that. So thank you all. Myself, Mr. Cochran, Ms. Harley, Mr. Lowy are here, one from each jurisdiction. And we can go around the table and everybody kind of introduce themselves maybe or something like that. That might be useful. Then we'll turn it over to you. I would just ask this, myself and Mr. Cochran have a million other engagements, so we'll have to just move a little more quicker today than we usually do.
Do you have a fixed time that we need to finish?
About 2 minutes ago, I think. I'm just kidding. Hey. Sooner rather than later. No, but we'll just do the best we can.
Is 3 o'clock too late?
I need to be in Richmond for dinner.
Yeah, 3 o'clock would be at the latest. But I may have to
Okay,
leave
that's 40 minutes. Yeah. Okay, we have 40 minutes, Patrick.
Yeah. Okay. And then in the future, as I mentioned to you, we're going to have to make sure a board member is at every one of your meetings and every one of the AAC meetings as well. So it may even not have a necessity of having these meetings as well. But we will cross that bridge when we come to it. Okay? Back to you.
Do you need to approve the agenda in the minutes first? I'm just wondering.
Sure. I don't even have
Do you have a packet?
I don't have my talking points, so I'm at a loss. But what do we have?
Oh, I think Denise had to just run out for a second. But
you're looking for that?
Yeah, I have one, but okay, you'll do that.
Okay. Am I actually chairing this thing?
No, well, I'm happy to.
No, I'll do it. That's
but
good.
Jennifer then reminds me that you're supposed to
right,
approve other
good.
Minutes.
All right, we'll begin the meeting. Welcome, everyone. I call the meeting to order. First order of business is to approve the agenda. So is there a, I move to the agenda. Is there a second? Any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Let's approve the minutes from in block from June 9th, 2016 and the October 12th, 2015 executive session. I'd like to move the approval of the minutes. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Information items, the quarterly meeting with the Accessory Advisory Council Leadership in the quarterly meeting with the Riders Advisory Council Leadership. We have three items on the agenda, the rail operating hours proposals, the FY 2018 budget recommendations, and the 7,000 series rail cars.
And I'm happy to take it from here if you
okay.
want.
Okay. Thank you.
So if we want to just go, I think you, everyone at the table knows me, Barbara Hermanson, the chair of the RAC. And do you want to go next? Go this way?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm Bob Fogle, vice chair.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Denise Pena. I'm in the board secretary's office.
Denise Rush, vice chair of the AAC committee and vice chair of the Metro Access committee.
Pat Sheehan, chair of the RAC. Chair of the RAC. I'm sorry, Barbara. Chair
Dream
of the
on,
AAC.
Patrick.
Taking over everything.
All right. I'm Christian Kent. I'm the assistant general manager for Metro's Access Services.
Okay, and we're the board members. So
yeah.
Here we are. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We had the three topics that are listed. Patrick and I are going to kind of pass the topic back and forth. Do you want to go first, Patrick, about the rail operating hours proposals? Or I know you've talked about it, that to some extent.
Yeah, I would say, interestingly enough, having attended at our meeting and also the RAC meeting, I think one of the things that we both agreed on, Barbara, is that it was very complex, and we had a very divided group with the AAC, and I understand that the RAC also did too.
Yeah.
There was no real clear consensus between A, B, C, and D of which really we liked. I think that we felt that there were problems with all of them. In a couple of areas, I think the AAC was very firm. One is that safety is critical. Whatever it takes to get us to a safe system is critical. We also don't want to sacrifice, as I think you said very nicely, Barbara, the availability of the system. So we have to balance those two. Areas that the AAC definitely was opposed to are shutting down certain stations or shutting down parts of those stations so that, let's say the lighting or cleanliness of stations or something like that. I think if we tended to go in those directions, we would end up with really a downward spiral. So really, out of A, B, C, and D, those proposals, we had mixed feelings all the way through. Barbara?
Yeah, and we really, it was absolutely the same, and I mentioned that at the hearing, no consensus. I think there was a mild consensus in not D, because it was cutting off a huge amount of riders that rely on Sunday morning service into the district, or in and out. But there was no consensus. There was more the consensus on, could we find something a little less radical, like not every week, or not every station, not every whatever. One of the questions, we know there was a huge amount, a wonderful, a huge amount of input from the public, and I don't know exactly when the results will be available to you. But I think one question we have is, what is the next step? You get the feedback, and then something's going to be incorporated into the budget proposal, or we're curious about what is next, because I heard it was so overwhelmingly negative to those options.
I will tell you what I think, which may
okay.
not be right. So, but
that works.
Yeah. we want to hear your opinion.
I'm only the board chair. What do I know? And I don't know that there's anybody from the staff here, so I will ask my other board members to jump in here if you think I'm off base on this. We're going to get all the information. My recollection from what I read earlier was we will get, as a board, this information will be distilled and given to us sometime in, I'm guessing, November, because a decision has to be made in December. So it will come to us. Whether or not it goes to a committee, I don't know. It would seem logical that it would, but I don't know which committee it would go to. The operations, maybe, because it's operating, but it's anybody's guess. And so the committee would consider that and then come forward with a recommendation to the board. And then the board would take that up and make a decision as to what to do. It doesn't have to be A, B, C, or D. It can be none of the above. It can be we don't want to change anything, or it can be some other option that we haven't thought about. My impression is this, and again, I think I'm right. As of the end of SafeTrack, and which may be in April, or at the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th, the hours go back to the way they were. Okay? That's the 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, midnight, the original hours, unless the board acts differently. So if a proposal is brought before the board, is voted down, or is a jurisdictional veto is used and it doesn't happen, or whatever, at the end of SafeTrack or the end of the fiscal year, because I'm not sure which one it is going to be, it goes back to the way it was unless we change it. So is that a fair? I'm looking at you. You're shaking your head. So
I had one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Title VI analysis. When is that done?
Oh, that's
a
good question. Yeah.
We fully expect that there are aspects of them that have extreme ramifications from a Title VI point of view.
If I could.
Yeah, Jim, go please.
So the station closures is strictly a financial piece. So that would be in front of the finance.
Yeah, that's separate from the late night
budget,
hours.
When you look at the late night hours, that is a safety and operations issue. So that would go to that committee. So those two really would need to be separated.
Right. Yeah. So they got a little jumbled up in the hearing because I think people are upset about the station closures, but that's not the late night hours. Now that's a different issue entirely.
Mm-hmm. Now the late night hours could impact finances, but it's really a safety driven issue.
Yep. Okay. So we'll see where we are, and I'll try and get you more concise information when we get it.
No, that's helpful. It manages our expectations that I didn't realize it would be December before our decision. So that's good to know.
That's what I'm thinking.
We won't bug you about it before then. Maybe you're right then.
That'd be good.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, and the Title VI analysis, when would that?
Well, again, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm assuming it's now the end of October, so it would have to be sometime in November they would get it for us. I'm guessing it would probably be in the later than earlier in November, but as soon as we get it, you'll have it.
Great. Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Well, and I don't know this, but I would suspect that they may not do a Title VI analysis on all four options if they're not totally considering those four options.
Yeah.
You want to do it on what you reasonably think might happen. That's my guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That'd be great.
All right. Move on to the budget.
Budget recommendations, FY 2000. Now, keep in mind, we don't have the budget. None of the
no,
boards have
no.
seen it. We've only seen what you've seen.
Well,
and those have been put out there, and we've gotten a lot of input. Actually, you know, the input is generally, don't do any of this stuff, or do some of it, or, you know, whatever. You know, it's all over the line.
Well, and our question wasn't, we know there's not a proposal on the table yet, but the RAC itself did provide some input a few weeks, actually about a month ago, to the board with our recommendations on, recommendations is not the word, it was ideas. We had been approached back, by Mr. Cannon and Mr. Schofield, you know, to really think about what riders are looking for, and we did that, but they said, don't expect that you're going to balance the shortfall in terms of revenue versus expenses doing it, you know, because there's no fare we can charge that would cover that shortfall. So we did send you in late September our input, we were just looking to see if you have had an opportunity to look at that and have any feedback to give us, or if you would like us to send it to you again, or whatever you want to tell us.
Okay. I haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean I don't have it.
Yeah.
Tom, do I have it, or I don't have it? So maybe you could send it to me again. I don't
sure.
know about Kara, Jim, or Bob, nobody? Okay, so maybe you could resubmit it to the, I would say all the board members, so everybody has it. But I have not seen
okay.
it. It doesn't mean you didn't send it, doesn't mean I didn't get
no,
it.
No, because I understood John
yeah.
sent it with the packet just before the last board meeting on
okay.
the 22nd of September. But we can do that. We'd spent some time talking about fare structures just as a forewarning because we had heard, you know, some board members talk about the desirability of a flat fare. And certainly if you ask riders, a lot of them will say they'd like a flat fare. But I don't know that they thought through all the ramifications.
I don't think a flat fare was even contemplated.
Yeah, in this
fare increases or not.
Yeah.
There are service cuts or not.
Yeah.
There are taking money from the capital fund, put in the operating budget or not. And there are jurisdictional contributions
okay.
Or not. That, I'm guessing, I haven't seen anything, but those
right.
would be the four areas that we'll be looking at to balance this budget. It'd be a combination of all four, it could be, it won't, other than the jurisdictions paying everything, it won't be all the money's coming from the capital, all the money's coming from service increases, I mean, fare increases, or all the money's coming from service cuts, because each one of those three, the number would be so great it would be untenable, in my view. So I'm guessing Paul will put together a combination of those four. That would be my guess, but I have no inside knowledge at all.
Yeah, and it's entirely possible that our marching orders at the time, you know, a few months ago, were different from what
sure.
perspective is today.
Right.
So
right.
when you do see it, it may not, there are parts of it that may make absolutely no sense to even look at, but
yeah.
We'll
but
take
get,
a look at
get
that.
Get it to us
we will.
Because we will be getting the budget tomorrow.
Okay. Oh.
You will be getting the budget next, what did he say, Tuesday? What? Tuesday. You will be getting it Tuesday. So
oh, okay.
it comes to the board members tomorrow, and on Tuesday it will be released to the public on whatever, however we release this.
The proposal.
The proposal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right. understood. The first
cut at it. Paul's first cut at it.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
And I think the AAC, as far as, Barbara, am I, can I jump in?
No, no, your turn.
Oh, I thought you said no, no, I couldn't jump in. There you go.
Oh,
I'll
no,
do it.
I was.
Do it anyway.
No, it was no. We realized that, yeah, it's,
great.
It's only the first.
So AAC is very simple. I think at the board meeting you heard a lot of the proposals. We are concerned about Metro Access, twice the bus and rail fare, which we would find untenable. I would also say that having looked and worked on the recommendations that the RAC put forward, they did not touch Metro Access piece. So one of the things I think our base position would be we don't want to see any fare increase. We understand that may not be the case. We'd love to see the jurisdictions pick up a good percentage of the money that's needed to run the system. As far as Metro Access is concerned, as we've said in the past, we're looking at twice the bus fare. We think it's not only the most accurate but the fairest, particularly the way the rail is running right now. We look forward to what is being proposed in I guess, round two of the budget discussions. So you will hear recommendations from the AAC going forward. And I would say that with AAC and RAC working together, you should be able to get a set of recommendations that's going to work for both RAC and AAC, which I think is good.
Okay. All right.
Right.
We'll see. To be continued.
Okay.
Thank
right.
you.
Sure.
All right, now the 7,000 series Oh, I'm sorry, Denise, did you have something to answer?
One more thing that I want to reiterate, that the fare might not go up on Metro Access, and the top fare is $6.50, but when you increase the bus fare or you increase the rail, it's times two. So we have a cap of $6.50, but in the middle, the client's fare is going to get pregnant. There are more people in the middle than there are at the top. And so it's going to affect a lot more of the Metro Access clients. And we got to really keep that in mind. It's twice the bus fare is fair. But if you have to increase it, remember that it's going to affect more of the middle person than it is going to affect the top. Thank you.
The other piece that I would just reiterate that I mentioned at the board meeting, which I find, I don't know, I think it's fascinating in one way and just a very sensitive, is that some of the money for Metro Access patrons and clients, Denise is contributing from her own pocketbook.
Yes.
Because she wants to help people out. Those people, the people that are dependent on Metro Access don't have the same kind of money, perhaps that I might have or somebody else might have. So when you're making the decisions, there are people at the other end of that, and Metro Access is pretty critical and the only system that some people can use.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yes.
Phil Posner, I chaired the Fair Policy Committee, and what the AAC recommended several years ago was a flat fare of $4.50. And right now, we're at an average fare of $4.50 on Metro Access. And if you are willing to double the bus, the $4, $2 times 2 is 4, and lower the peak fare a little bit less, you're actually going to wind up with a fare of about $4.50 for the bulk of the ridership. And so squeezing a little bit at the bottom by switching the bus and squeezing a little bit at the top by lowering the maximum fare, we actually get to what we had recommended. And one of the things that was recommended was the ease of the ridership understanding that the fare was a flat fare of $4.50.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are we on to the 7,000 series?
7,000 series.
Patrick, you get to start.
7,000 series, I think you've heard a couple of the recommendations that we've made. Number one, I'll start off with something good. The automated announcements on the 7,000 series are good. Very understandable. Thank you for that. That's been a long time coming. Front row of seats, there are no armrests. And so I know myself sometimes getting up out of those seats is difficult. Speaking for Phil, I know that people with disabilities, he uses crutches or canes. Without having an armrest, it's very, very difficult to get yourself out of those front seats. Having those armrests, I think, would be extremely important. The between car door barriers, we talked about that before. I think that's excellent that we're going to put those, that we're going to retrofit the cars that we have there currently right now. And then with the delivery of the new cars, we'll have a consistent system for between car door barriers. So I applaud Metro for that. I think the 7,000 series, everything that I've heard for the 7,000 series are complimentary. So a lot of good features there. Barbara?
Yeah, the RAC has only one thing about the 7,000 we wanted to bring up. And the last vital signs report that came out, it didn't have very current crowding numbers, but it's still the last numbers we have received are that the blue is still suffering a great deal in crowding, and that I think it was like one red line was over what's optimal, one location for orange was over that, and five blues were, and they were all the way from when the optimal is 100, and they went up to 119 people per car. And we know that it's very complex how to get cars from here to there, trains from here to there. But to the extent that as the new 7,000s come in, we don't know how they're allocated to lines, but we would certainly love to see Blue get some consideration for the new cars coming online that would help that ease that crowding tremendously. And that is not just a, gee, it's nice, but it's the crowding that's unsafe at times.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anything further on the 7,000 series?
The only thing that I would then add, I think, is a, I don't know, as a thank you, is what I reiterated at the board meeting, is making sure that when we're developing apps, and for the most part, we've done a good job, I think, bringing in disability issues, making sure that with the apps that we're developing, websites we're developing, documents that we're putting out there, that they meet accessibility standards. You've got a good IT department. I've worked with them before. There are lots of tools out there. Ensuring that accessibility is put up front, developed up front, just like you would security and privacy, I think is critical. So anything that my committee can do to assist in beta testing, anything that comes out, we love that kind of thing. So I think that's one we missed, but it's not a trend I want to see us going forward and moving into that area.
Okay.
That reminds me about some feedback we got about the new website was just a question about Spanish capabilities or other languages. You know, is there, if we didn't see a lot in our use of the beta site that there
okay.
was a, so we would recommend certainly that you look, we consider that, and we
yeah.
will pass that feedback on to staff as
and
well.
That's important, yeah, very good.
Okay.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. At the risk of saying, is there anything else anybody wants to talk about?
Well, Bob never got a chance to say a single word, so you have something you want to say. I take my life in my hands when I ask
yes,
him if
no,
he wants to express something.
Yes.
What, yeah,
well,
from
very
your
quickly entertain one or two, and then we'll be done.
Okay.
Yeah.
This has little to do with RAC. I just want to talk about the next stage of SafeTrac. I am a little concerned because the western side of the red line, not only is service going to be less frequent, but I think we're going to have a lot of people coming from the eastern side of the red line to the western side and using the stations there. I know there's a problem about the every 6 minutes. That can't be addressed because of the need to turn around trains. But any effort to divert some additional rail cars to the west side of the red line so you can have 8-car trains coming from through Montgomery County into northwest D.C. would be very helpful. It's
okay.
just my own view, personal view.
Well, could have been much worse from Bob. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have.
Yeah. Okay. We'll try and take a look at that.
Okay.
So, as I mentioned, we're going to try and have a board member at every one of your meetings going forward. We've had good response from board members, so look forward to that. I found going to the AAC recently, it was a terrific meeting. There were dozens of people there, and the input from the members and others there was terrific. So we look forward to continuing that kind of relationship and having individuals tell us of their experiences with Metro there and how we can better serve our customers. And I thought it was very useful. And when I spoke at the RAC several months ago, it was the same type of an experience. So I just encourage people to come, speak out. We're your board. We work for you, and we're here to try and make the system a better system. And I have to say, it's getting better. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's getting better, but we have a whole list of accomplishments that Metro has made, from enormous management changes to board changes to, as Jim gave a lot of credit, that he and his audit committee got the audit done on time, a clean audit. I mean, it's an amazing things that we are trying to do here. And it's going to get better as we get more 7,000 series cars. As you know, we're buying them. We're up to 20 a month from 8. So we can get those things in here faster, better, get them on the tracks, get them working. And as Paul always says, it really comes down to cars and tracks. We get more and more new cars, it'll be better, more reliable. And as we fix these tracks, it'll get more reliable. And then we can deal with many of the other issues that drive me crazy, the lighting, the signs, you know, and go on and on mm-hmm. about things I would love to get to and hopefully will get to someday. So just stick with us. We need you and we need your input. Okay?
We'll be here to assist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You.
Well, thank you all for
you.
Meeting today. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right.
I didn't see you in the back. Go ahead. Come on up, grab a mic, and we'll give you 30 seconds or a minute, maybe.
I just quickly want to thank you. I wanted to make a suggestion that the
sure.
board should consider, notwithstanding the fact that staff here have suggested otherwise, that with regard to the ability to ride proposal, a Title VI analysis might have to be done. The long-range implications of ability to ride being successful first in Maryland and then elsewhere is that, notwithstanding staff's suggestion that there will be no administrative or logistical reduction in metro access, it can't be supported as it is currently if these alternatives are successful as suggested they will be. If that's the case, then it directly impacts ADA transportation and would suggest that a Title VI analysis must be done. So I leave that to the board to do with it as it chooses.
Okay, thank you very much. And with that, the meeting's adjourned.